From WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Americans are doing more and more of their shopping online, but part of what distinguishes Baltimore are the brick-and-mortar businesses here that have thrived for more than a century. The nonprofit Baltimore Heritage has a new project recognizing the owners of 100-year legacy businesses. Johns Hopkins is executive director of Baltimore Heritage.
They are passionate about their business, and they're equally passionate about both their legacy and what they're able to do today in Baltimore.
Then we hear the real deal about two family-run establishments from Joe DiPasquale of DiPasquale's Italian Market and Tony Tochterman of Tochterman's Fishing and Tackle.
We care. We're not just employees of a big company. We are people that care about our customers and our reputation.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. In the age of big box stores and discount prices, not to mention the immediacy of online shopping, it's a marvel to learn there are brick-and-mortar businesses in Baltimore that have thrived for more than a century. The nonprofit Baltimore Heritage is recognizing Baltimore's legacy businesses by collecting stories and photos on its website and its phone app. They'll also host behind-the-scenes tours of the locations, all as part of the mission to preserve and promote Baltimore's historic buildings and neighborhoods. Here to talk about the Legacy Businesses Project is Executive Director of Baltimore Heritage, Johns Hopkins. Welcome back to On the Record.
Thank you. Good morning.
And also with us is historical tour guide and proud native Baltimorean Richard Messick, who conducted research and compiled stories about the businesses. Welcome, Richard.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Johns, where did the idea for this project come from?
It kind of grew out of a program we have called our Centennial Homes Program. And through that, we try to say thank you and recognize families that have been in the same house for 100 years or more. And we started that program 10 years ago. And so far, we've been able to document and essentially say thank you to 14 families from Holland's Roundhouse in West Baltimore to Little Italy in Canton in East Baltimore up to Overly in way northeast Baltimore. And it was our way of saying that we understand that Baltimore's great neighborhoods really depend on our great neighbors. And so those folks had been anchors of their communities literally for a century. And we started thinking, well, what about the absolutely longstanding family-owned businesses that we have that are businesses in Baltimore and have also been around for 100 years? And so with Richard, we began bantering the idea about how do we recognize these places that are also destinations in and of themselves, part of our history, and also often anchoring some of our great historic neighborhoods. And out of that came this idea of a legacy business program, again, to recognize and to say thank you to the folks who are keeping Baltimore's uniqueness alive.
Richard, how did you get involved?
Well, I think I first got involved in the aspect of giving tours when I went on the Lexington Market tour, and I thought, I want a little more information. And as soon as I did the research, would you like to do the tour? And the research bug bit me.
The research bug bit
you. Yes, and I enjoy looking at and digging up information about these old businesses. It's been a fascinating trail.
Like what has fascinated you most?
What keeps them busy? What keeps them going? I found my through line for most all of these businesses where I went and interviewed and did the research, the people there were genuinely interested in talking with me. And one of them didn't even know why I was there. They didn't know why they said, so what are you doing here? So they're just that open and friendly and, which just speaks to their customer service and their customer base who, want to come back because they feel like they're right at home. And I found some wonderful circle backs on some of these businesses.
What do you mean by a circle back?
Well, they've been around a long time. So several of them have had their own product kind of circle back on them. G. Krug & Son was the first place I went to, where the ironworks, they were around the corner from Lexington Market. And they've been around, there's been a business there doing iron working since 1810. The Krugs have been there since around the Civil War. But one time the Ivy Hotel needed a new window grate, or a window grate restored. They came to them, and while they were looking at it, at the picture of the grate, somebody went to one of the drawers and pulled out the original design for that window grate. But there's several of the businesses have that similar kind of circle back. Hilgartner and Son did stonework, and they were restoring the old Masonic Temple on Charles Street for the Tremont Grand. It's a venue space. As they were working on it, somebody went up to the boss and said, "You should see this room. It's got a wide array of different types of marble." They did a little research and found out it was the original showroom for Hilgartner in the turn of the last century is when that was built. So it was their original shop.
So you've mentioned two of the legacy businesses. Who else is on the list?
We've got seven so far that we've been able to identify. And let's see, not in any particular order, but G. Krug & Son is the oldest one that we've found so far, 1810. Just to give a little perspective on 1810, that was just 13 years after Baltimore City incorporated as a city. It was 4 years before we were attacked by the British in the War of 1812. And if you're a baseball fan out there, it was 91 years before the Baltimore Orioles came into existence.
That's right.
So, but Fadley Seafood, not too far behind. Meyer Seed in Fells Point. Buttigieg's Paint. Tochterman's Fishing Tackle. De Pasquale's Italian Market. And Hilgartner Stone Company. And we know we've started with seven, but we know there are more out there. And so one of our hopes through our website and through everything else is for folks to help us identify more legacy businesses so we can similarly try to collectively say thank you to them for sticking around for so long.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Johns Hopkins, Executive Director of Baltimore Heritage, and Richard Messick, researcher for Baltimore's Legacy Businesses Project, businesses that have been in operation 100 years or more, a new project from Baltimore Heritage. How would you articulate, either of you, what impact these businesses have had on their communities?
Well, if you take Hilgartner Stone, for example, they've been in South, started out downtown. This is right after the Civil War, started out downtown and then moved to South Baltimore right around 1900. And they've been part of the South Baltimore community making marble steps. So all of us who will walk out this morning or have already walked out this morning down your marble steps, the odds are really high that those marble steps came from Hilgartner in South Baltimore. One of the things that struck me was how has it impacted the community? The community in this case might be Baltimore City. We are so fanatically devoted to our marble steps that we not only put them on house after house all over the city. In the 1970s and 1980s, when we were having the annual city fair, Hilgartner made little mini marble steps as doorstops and sold them at the city fair, and they could not make enough of them. We wanted little mini marble steps to have as doorstops inside our houses where we had marble steps leading up to them.
Because people think of scrubbing those marble steps as a quintessential Baltimore thing to do, even if it's not done much anymore.
Absolutely right. And I guess we could scrub our little mini steps, doorstop steps as well now.
I think also as far as the impact on the community is several of them. Buttigieg comes to mind, Tochterman's again, Fadley's. It has a gather around the pickle barrel kind of feel to all of them. You feel like you could stick around and chat with each one of them. So in that sense, it is a kind of, some of them, not all of them obviously, are kind of almost community centers where longtime customers come back and like to hang out.
Well, with Buttigieg Paints, we know from talking with them that Buttigieg Paints have been delivered since just after the Civil War, the 1860s, by horse and cart, by police car, by bicycle, and for some daring youth, by roller skates. So talk about a neighborhood delivery. You have a kid on roller skates delivering buttocky paint in along Broadway over the ages.
John's Baltimore Heritage is known for its historical tours. Are you planning tours of the legacy businesses?
In this past year, in 2018, we have done tours of all of the first seven that are here, and we are working with them to set up schedules for the coming year, for 2019.
Well, thanks for the heads up, and thank you for telling us about the legacy businesses. Thanks.
It's a pleasure.
Enjoyed it.
Johns Hopkins, Executive Director of Baltimore Heritage, and Richard Messick, researcher for Baltimore's Legacy Businesses that have been in operation 100 years or more, a new project of Baltimore Heritage. We have a link to more information about the businesses and the tours at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. I'm Sheila Cast. After the break, we'll meet the owners of two legacy businesses, Tochterman's Fishing and Tackle and Di Pasquale's Italian Market. Don't go away.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about Baltimore's legacy businesses, an evolving list compiled by the nonprofit Baltimore Heritage of businesses in the city that have been operating 100 years or more. We're joined now by two century-old family business owners, Joe Di Pasquale of Di Pasquale's Italian Market. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And Tony Tochterman of Tochterman's Fishing and Tackle. Welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Joe, who started Di Pasquale's Market?
My grandfather, Luigi Di Pasquale, in 1914.
Tell me the story.
Came over when he was about 15 years old. He had a few brothers, but he acted as a scout. He came over to work for the railroad company. He did a couple years. Then when he was about 18 or 19, he decided to open up a little grocery store, an Italian grocery store in a German neighborhood.
Why an Italian grocery store in a German neighborhood?
Well, we wonder. I mean, I think he was a little bit ahead of the curve as far as, you know, other Italians coming over and you know, being ready to provide them with their little conveniences, you know, from the old country.
So this was on what street?
This was on Claremont Street, 3700 Claremont.
In
Highlandtown.
Highlandtown.
Yes. And he lived upstairs like a lot of the business owners did. They lived in the same building. All his children were born upstairs. My father was born in that building. You know, no, they didn't go to the hospital then. They just had the midwives. He had six children. And all the kids worked there.
How did you get involved in the business?
Well, I was born two doors down. Yeah, I mean, I was born at the hospital, though. But I was born into the business. I mean, all my brothers and sisters, we all had a part in the business. We were expected to work the candy case or, you know, help my father deliver something. We were all, you know, just raised in the business.
What's your first memory of working in Di Pasquale's Market?
Well, it was a bad memory. I was climbing up a canned tomato display, like it was a steps, and I fell and hit my head. I still have the scar today. I think it was about 3 years old, but I wasn't working then. I was in the business, but you know, I was just around the time. But my first memory is working the candy case when school was let out for like an hour and the children were allowed to go home. Orlea Pompeii, they always used to come into the store and either get a sandwich or some candy. But it was easy to work the case. That was the first job for the kids in our family.
Was there any problem with your wanting to sample them yourself?
No, we had access to all that. So, you know, we didn't abuse it that much, but we did have some fun.
Tony, what about Hochtermann's Fishing and Tackle, started by your grandfather?
My grandfather, Thomas George, and he was a third generation over from Germany at that time. They came from Pennsylvania, and my grandfather had a job at the fish market downtown, and with the fish market, he was a manager at one of the fish stalls. And back then, refrigeration was a little tough, and since they live where the store is now at 1925 Eastern Avenue, they figured since that was a main thoroughfare going through from downtown Baltimore all the way out to the Essex area, they found that, hey, look, on the weekends, I'm going to take some of the excess fish home and peelers, which was really a delicacy for them back then.
Peelers.
Peelers. It's a type of crab. It's a stage of a crab.
Uh-huh.
And so he took some home and was really ahead of his curve, too, just like a lot of the families were in Hollandtown back then, that they realized that they were literally, because we started out as a fishing tackle store. And most stores that sold fishing tackle were either hardware stores or general stores, but they didn't start out as fishing stores. My grandfather was ahead of the curve on that. And of course, we sold some bait. My grandmother made codfish cakes and crab cakes, and then they added some fishing rods and fishing tackle, and the rest is history.
And how did you get started in the business?
I was drafted. I had no choice, but then one of the fun questions, people say, gee, when did you realize you were going to be in the business, and what else would you do if you weren't? And I think I can say the same thing for Joe, is that you had no choice. And it wasn't you didn't have a choice. You didn't want a choice. You were so proud to be in the business, in the family business, that you were almost drafted into becoming part of the business. Is there something else I would rather do today? No. Is there anything I've ever wanted to do that I haven't done? No. Family businesses are pretty strong. And like Joe said, with being in Hollandtown, back then, again, you had the Italians, you had the Poles, you had the Germans, you had the Greeks. And they were all in their own little groups, but they were all good Americans. America came first, not the old country. And they would support each other, and they would respect each other. So that still is there today.
What's your first memory?
My first memory was just before I was 5 years old. My dad would bring me in, and I would clean all the glass for the display cases. But then he also had me wipe off all the different fishing lures. Now, that sounds like a tedious job for a kid to clean.
Oh, does it ever.
But by doing that, I learned the different lures, the numbers, the styles, the sizes, the colors, so that to this day, I know the bad type of fishing tackle and what the items are better than anybody that studied it.
I have the impression that both of your wives are involved in the business.
Absolutely.
Is that what they expected when they married you?
Well, my wife actually worked for me before we were married.
Okay. So I presume that then wasn't a surprise that
right,
she it was knew, your life and it was going to be hers too.
She knew going in that was, I always tell her the business is my wife and she's my mistress. That's what I always tell her. But, it takes, and she's in it fully now. And it's difficult because we're both, there's no time, not a lot of time to spare, for, each other or the children, but it's the life we've chosen, the business we're in.
I have to go along with that by saying that we both realize that we're blessed, we're really blessed to have wives that are our partners. I know a lot of people say that, but when you're together 24 hours a day, you work together, you live together, you have to have a special partner. And with that special partner, it means there's a little give and take, but you're so busy and you're so tired that it doesn't make any difference. But yeah, I think Joe and I would agree again, we're still part owners, but they're the boss,
You have polished that line. Is there a willing next generation to pass the business on to, Tony?
No. No, Dee and I have no children. We have two dogs. Neither one are interested. So we are in the process now of planning to do a couple possibilities. We may, if the right help is in place at the time that we retire, I'll be 70 next year. Dee will be a little bit younger. And so at this point, we want to keep going. We were going to retire when the company was 100. But then the public made us so crazy that we said, you know what? We're having such a good time. Let's do it. It's not getting easier as we mature. But it's something that is really worthwhile. And If anything does happen to us now, our basic plan is to sell all the buildings, all the property, everything, and we want to open a nonprofit organization that will teach inner city children how to fish.
Joe, what's the line of success in Deep Pasquales?
Well, I have four children. Three of them have worked in the store. One is now helping me full-time. He graduated from college. He is working one of the stores, in the new one in Federal Hill. He went to school for food marketing, international food marketing, so I thought it would, you know, kind of go hand in hand with what we do. And we have a lot of friction. He has new ideas. He knows it all, you know, that's the way they are. And but I knew I had friction with my dad, passing it on, and, you know, different ideas or different styles. But I'm sure we'll be able to work through it.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass, speaking with Joe DiPasquale of DiPasquale's Italian Market and Tony Tochterman of Tochterman's Fishing and Tackle. We're talking about Baltimore's legacy businesses that have thrived for a century or more. It's a project organized by the nonprofit Baltimore Heritage. Has the rise in popularity of online commerce affected your business?
I haven't noticed it. It is prepared. A lot of it's prepared foods, so you can't buy too much of that online. And we've been fortunate, even in a bad economy or tough times, or we're just very fortunate. Everybody eats and drinks, and if they don't buy a half a pound of prosciutto, they'll buy a pound of ham to make their dollar stretch. But there's always something. They'll always buy something.
What is DiPasquale's best known for? What is the product that brings people from farthest away?
Well, I would say that our prepared foods and our takeout, our pasta dishes, and there's certain niche items that they find in there for their cooking. It's a lot of hobby cooking now. It's no longer the cooking. When I was young, it was major cooking. The lady, I used to drop off cases and cases of items, but now it's what they see on the Food Network. They want to duplicate it, or when they travel, they try to duplicate what they experienced. It's hobby cooking. A lot of my shelf items are sort of props, but they want that memory again. But they want me to want us to make it. They want us to make it.
Tony,
let me just say that as a customer of DiPasquale's, I will say I add to what Joe said, but his selection of product and the freshness of the product is what makes it different and unique. Also, what makes, I think, all our small, better businesses successful is customer service. We care. We're not just employees of a big company. We are people that care about our customers and our reputation. And where the big guys are coming in, there is some degree of competition for us because we're hard good products. But selection, because of a person.
Including online competition?
Oh, very much so. Because the point is, even if people go online and they find the same identical product at a less price, which doesn't happen often because our costs are less. But if they do find one and they save $5, the problem is they didn't save $5 if they bought the wrong item. They come to an independent to buy the right item or to learn how to make the right dish or prepare the things together. That's something that the big boys can't do.
I know nothing about fishing and tackle, but I understand that one of the products that you're famous for is bloodworms.
That's my wife. That's Dee. She's the worm girl. Bloodworms, they give you an idea, a worm is a dollar a piece. And she'll go through 20 to 40,000 of them in a busy week during the summer. And the mortality rate for bloodworms is usually about 25 to 35%. She has gotten the mortality rate down to less than 3% because she has learned through a lot of work and a lot of hours throughout the night how to get a solution. And she actually bathes every worm at least once or twice a day. She spends 14 hours a day bathing worms. I told Dee she was a very lucky woman to have me to have pick her to be the worm girl. He has no idea how lucky she is that she has that opportunity.
I have no idea what kind of follow-up question to ask. That is amazing.
You're going to have to ask Dee that one.
We need to wrap this up very quickly. DiPasquale's has been in Highland Town more than a century. Tochterman's in Fells Point. How would you describe the effect your businesses have had on these communities? Or are they on you?
we have real estate agents now that part of the tour for their prospective customers coming to DePasquale's. It's a draw. So I feel it makes me feel good that we are a draw for people to buy, purchase a home in Highland Town.
That's cool.
Yeah.
With us, because of our reputation and selection, we bring a lot of people from five different states and in on a regular basis. So the travel for them to get here, stay here, and while they're here, they'll hit the Inner Harbor, they'll hit Fells Point, they'll hit Holland Town. And Baltimore's missing the point. If Baltimore gets all these bad news raps, how come all these businesses are here 100 years and loving it? So that's a little star in Baltimore's, you know, market to say, hey, promote us. We're the ones that have paid your tax base for 100 years.
What a pleasure to talk to both of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our pleasure.
Joe DePasquale of DePasquale's Italian Market, Tony Tochterman of Tochterman's Fishing and Tackle. They're two of Baltimore's legacy businesses that have thrived for a century or more in Charm City. It's a project organized by the nonprofit Baltimore Heritage. If you have a legacy business to suggest, they'd love to hear from you. We have links to more information at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.